Well, hello, folks. This is Robert Berry, and welcome to Retro Crush, the podcast, episode 80. Nice divisible number there, milestone. 80 episodes of retro goodness so far. Hope you all had a good Memorial Day weekend. I spent the holiday weekend up in Eureka, hanging out with my wife's father, who you heard a couple podcasts ago. And we got to enjoy the kinetic sculpture races. And this is probably one of the best... what's the right word? One of the most unknown, underrated. That's the word. Underrated cool events going on in America right now, I think. I think it's been going on for about 20 years, and every Memorial Day weekend what they do is people build these vehicles that have to be human-powered, so there's no gas motors. All has to be, generally they're gear powered with some sort of pedal contraption. And it's a 3-day race. And a lot of it's done for fun. It's very Mardi Gras style. But, what they do is, they've got to, there's a road race. And there is a race over sand. And then there's a race over, going across water. So they have to build a craft that can pedal on, be good on the road, that can actually go over these really deep sand dunes and then float and maneuver in the water without sinking. So you can imagine a vehicle that's human powered that can do all three is pretty amazing. And like I said, it's got a real fun Mardi Gras feel to it. So there's some very outlandish, crazy, contraptions, like giant pigs and cats and, crazy stuff. So we'll have some photos of that to share with you. And while I was up there, I got to hook up with my friend David Thorpe, who you can read on Something Awful. He writes an awful lot of things on somethingawful.com, a lot of music-related stuff and some other comedy articles that he writes. And he's also a DJ at Humboldt State's station KHSU, which is actually, it's interesting, it's not really a college station, according to Dave. It's a NPR-type stuff during the morning, and it's just good eclectic radio during the afternoon and evening for the most part. And I guess it's actually the number one station in Eureka right now, but I got to do a spot with him on the radio that was a lot of fun, and we're going to play an edited version of that for you. During this bit that we do on the radio, we took brand new music that was never played yet on the station and sampled it on the air live, and then basically rated it over the air. So obviously I can't play the entire songs here, so you'll only be hearing small excerpts of those songs, a little less than 30 seconds of each. So just bear in mind when you hear this, we actually were playing the whole song. But so I'm going to play about 25 minutes of this radio show that we were doing together there. And then I have a couple CDs that I'm going to review with you live on the air here now. Kind of two of a kind, but very different CDs. One of them is called Forever Diamond, or Forever Neil Diamond. I'm not sure the exact title, but it's put out by Shout Factory, and it's a bunch of people covering Neil Diamond songs. And then we've got kind of the reverse. We've got a new Def Leppard album called Yeah, and it's Def Leppard covering a bunch of their favorite songs. So Def Leppard one's very reasonably priced, by the way. It won't cost you an arm and a leg, that's for sure. And then finally we're going to review the latest comic book from Retro Crush favorite Johnny Ryan, Angry Youth Comics number 11, and some voicemails and some other fun stuff in the meantime. So I'm going to go ahead and play the introduction part of our radio show with KHSU's David Thorpe, and then we're going to play the meat of the show that we were there for as well.
So who should I have on my show today but Robert from RetroCrush.com. How's it going?
Pretty good, Dave. How is it going with you?
It's going just fine. So you're in town for the kinetic race, huh?
Yes, my wife's family is up here, and we love coming up to watch those crazy sculptures racing around there.
I was actually too lame to actually make it today, so I want to describe anything amazing you saw.
Well, yeah, I saw this, big pig sculpture kind of thing or something crashed into some people. It was kind of cool. They didn't get their brakes on in time.
Oh, nice.
And there's this guy with an eyeball mask riding a unicycle that got hit by a pig.
Nothing enhances a public event like some good old-fashioned carnage, huh?
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, good. No injuries, I hope.
No, I don't think so. They recovered pretty nicely, but it was...
Well, you know, personally, I don't think you're qualified to say, so let's just assume there were some injuries.
I think one of them died.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll leave it at that. So, yeah, tell us a little about your site.
Yeah, I run RetroCrush.com, and it's a pop culture site. Have a lot of retro television, celebrity, video games, cartoon stuff. You know, just a lot of junk you liked as a kid that you never outgrew kind of content there. Yeah.
You know, one thing I noticed about your site is there's some titillating galleries of ladies from the past.
Oh, yeah, like your Raquel Welch or Betty Page.
Women who are now old enough to be your grandmother, I should add.
Yes, but...
We don't think of it like that.
Well, sometimes I still do, but...
Well, that's
for my other website. Yeah.
You recently interviewed Al Gore on there, didn't you?
Yeah, that was, normally I interview, like, people that were sweat hogs on Welcome Back, Kotter, but
right.
Somehow I lucked into getting to interview Al Gore.
Al Gore was actually only a minor character on Welcome Back, Kotter. He never made it to the sweat hog ranks.
Right, he was like Horshack's buddy during that special molestation episode.
But, yeah, few people know that.
Yeah. But no, it was really, really kind of cool. A couple weeks ago, I got to interview him in San Francisco. So
you met him in person, huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
You know, he's just a regular guy.
Does he cut a dashing figure?
Yeah, he's very tall. Very
cool,
strong
cool.
Looking, too. Looks like he could, you know, probably beat you up pretty good if you got him mad.
You know, I saw photos of him, and he seemed to have bulked up a little. I wouldn't call it fat, necessarily, but just, like, large. He looked like he could beat you up.
Yeah, I mean, well, after the interview, he, like, ordered a big cheeseburger, so I'm sure if that's, you know, his normal diet now, he's probably getting a little bit hefty there, but he's a pretty imposing figure. He's definitely all over the news these days, promoting that global warming documentary.
You know, I've done such poor research that I don't even know if it's playing here or not. If it was playing, it would be playing at some nice little theater like the Minor. But do you remember what it's called? Inconvenient Truth?
Yeah, it's an Inconvenient Truth, and it's it's almost like an Al Gore concert film. He's doing a PowerPoint presentation about global warming with some pretty compelling footage and, you know, bar graphs and stuff like that. But if you're even on the fence that global warming's happening or not, I think if you watch this, it's pretty evident that it is. And they show polar bears drowning because they can't find icebergs to land on anymore.
Wow.
So that's pretty deep stuff.
Yeah, interesting.
it's
a downer, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's just no March of the Penguins, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, so Al Gore rocks.
Yeah, cool guy. And I'm sure people around here are preoccupied with the alternate history timeline involving Al Gore.
Yeah, exactly. You know, well, isn't Arcade is a pretty big Bush town, though, isn't it?
Oh no. Oh no. Actually, we go more for Bush isn't right wing enough for us here. He's definitely a little too soft and liberal for us. We prefer Buchanan here in Arcata.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I remember when you guys had, like, with the first Desert Storm War, like, there was, like, all these stories about, like, Arcata divided. And there was, like, the shopkeepers putting flags in their windows, and then hippies would throw rocks at it, and stuff like that.
I'm sure I was too young and stupid to remember that.
Yeah, well, those were dangerous times.
Dangerous times indeed. Well, I think we're going to get back to music for a little while, and we're going to have you on a little later for some whack or not whack, in which we play songs that we've never heard of from the new releases and decide whether or not they're whack. How does that sound?
That sounds heck awesome.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for talking to me, Robert.
Anytime, Dave.
All right, we'll have you back in a minute. All right, that was Neil Young with For the Turnstiles, Libertines with Death on the Stairs, Pulp with Lip Gloss, When in Rome by request with The Promise, Susie and the Banshees with Dazzle, and Ian McCulloch with The Flickering Wall. We've got Robert here from RetroCrush.com again.
Hello.
How's it going?
Great, great.
Okay, cool. What we're going to do is something that I've done before, but I haven't done in a while, where we play stuff from the new release racks that we've never heard of and figure out whether or not it sucks. So the first thing we've got is called This Is Hell.
I hope that's not indicative of what we're about to hear.
Yeah, the cover seems to be bats made out of blood against a full moon or something. Lots of dripping blood. Care to describe what you see there?
Well, that's pretty much your standard gothic standby.
Yeah. How about the dudes in the band? What kind of genre of person do they look like?
They look like Disturbed skater types, mostly.
All right, cool. Disturbed skater types. This is Hell. The song we're going to play, chosen at random, is called Here Come the Rains. I can't promise that this doesn't contain bad language, so if you're sensitive to not knowing what you're about to hear, you might turn away your young ears. But just giving you fair warning that I don't know what these guys are all about. So anyway, here come the rains. All right, that's totally getting faded out early.
Yes.
So, what'd you think?
Well, the drummer's pretty good, I'll admit.
You know, hardcore often involves pretty good musicianship in terms of speed.
Yeah, it's almost like this guy won a contest so he could be their lead singer for a CD or something.
You know, I really cannot comment on hardcore because I really have no idea. It all just kind of runs together for me.
Well, they're pretty angry.
Yeah.
Or at least they can sell CDs to kind of work out their aggressions.
You know what the funny thing about bands like this is you can't tell whether they're Christian or not, because there are plenty of bands that sound like this but are actually like really Christian. So I wonder if I can find any hints in the liner notes as to whether or not they're all about Jesus.
Yeah, I bet you could.
Well, there's lots of blood everywhere.
That is true. That's a little bit Jesus-y, but in sort of an esoteric way, huh?
That whole song sounded like the scourging.
You know, I can't find any direct references to Jesus in the liner notes, so we can assume probably that they're not a Christian band. But even so, I don't know if I can tolerate to listen to any more of them.
No, I think that one didn't pass the test.
Okay, yeah, so I think that was whack, at least from my narrow perspective. And you would agree with the whackness?
Yeah, that was whack, whack-galicious.
All right, next up we have The Little Ones, which is called, this is called the Sing Song EP. It looks kind of cutesy, doesn't it?
It does. It kind of, you know, this kind of Hello Kitty-ish pink color scheme to it, very Japanese-influenced cover. I would get this CD just based on the cover. I hope it would sound good.
Yeah, I think based on the cover, we can tentatively say that it's probably just about the opposite of the last thing we heard.
Yeah, I'm expecting to hear something like Shonen Knife or something cutie.
Yeah, beat happening or something. All right, let's put this on, see what it is. This is The Little Ones with a song called Let Them Ring the Bells.
Best years of our lives, so long to an era, dry your eyes. And we don't have a lot to say. Outlines of circles on our face, details of certain time and place. And we're on to a different page.
All right, that was Let Them Ring the Bells by The Little Ones.
Whoa.
That was kind of run-of-the-mill, wasn't it?
Yeah, I liked a lot of the song and the music in the back, except for that whoa part of the song. But yeah,
a little tiresome.
I'd be willing to hear a little more of their stuff, but
yeah,
it was kind of mediocre, but not horrible.
Yeah, straight down the middle.
Yeah,
nothing good or bad particularly about that.
No,
I don't know if I'll remember it tomorrow, so I can say not whack, but not exactly not whack.
I think that's a good assessment there.
Yeah. Also, a listener just told me that I sounded like a big gay moose.
Well.
Yep.
They must be psychic. That's hella what you look like.
That's what I look like, too. All right, the next thing is called The RoboCop Krause. Actually has a pretty interesting cover photo there.
The RoboCop Krause?
Yeah.
K-R-A-U-S. So they're like German...
Or they're robots and cops mixed together or something like that.
What does Krause mean in German?
I would not know.
That was the maid on Benson.
you're exactly the guy who would know that,
yeah.
Huh? All right, what are we going to listen to by these guys? I Picture You. We're going to play the second cut off this.
Okay, those are always the good ones to choose, yeah.
Yeah, usually like the first and the seventh and the second are usually the singles on there, so... All right, the RoboCop Krause with I Picture You. Let's see if it sucks or not.
We are working. We are working.
was the RoboCop cross with I Picture You. What do you think?
I didn't like that too much. I mean, he sounds like he's spitting when he's singing a lot.
I wouldn't want to stand right in front of that guy while he was singing.
It sounds a lot like that song Living in the Wild Wild West from the 80s there, too.
I didn't catch that.
Why do you write a song where you're singing We Don't Work Here? Like, what motivated you to write a song about that? Like, you get bugged at Target too much and you wore a red shirt there?
And the slacks.
I don't work here, you know?
Yeah. Or maybe he just has the kind of haircut that when he's in Starbucks, everybody thinks he works there. And they're like, could I have a scone, please? And
yeah, I go home and bleed my pain with this scone.
You look like you cut your hair with a lighter. Can I have a scone? Yeah, that must be it. Yeah. And he also used the classic, was he saying we're hardly working? As in, working hard, more like hardly working.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think he relied on cliche.
Oh, that's, I think... I'd say that one's pretty whack.
Yeah, that was a little bit whack. Wasn't, you know, I'm not going to call it terrible, but I'm not going to listen to it again either, so
yeah,
there you go.
RoboCop Krause.
Yeah, and also, you know, if you're going to call your band RoboCop, you damn well better be as good as RoboCop.
Yeah, like RoboCop 3 was better than that song.
Yeah, basically. And was RoboCop 3 the one with the ninjas and stuff?
Probably.
Yeah, who cares after a certain point? All right, up next we have Snow Globe. I guess I'll play a song called At Times a Nightmare. Now, the back cover of this is kind of interesting. Check that out.
It's like a kid in a ball pit.
Yeah, it's a kid in one of those ball pits from McDonald's or whatever, and it says Brad. That's the only caption it has.
If I saw this at the store, I would have no clue what kind of music this is. I would just like, you know, if I was looking for a CD with a kid in a ball pit, I would probably be happy that this was there, but...
Yeah, otherwise, you know, what are you going to say? And the front cover sheds little light on what's going on either. It's a drawing of a mouth on a cloud raining down upon an upside down pyramid with sort of chemical structure, kind of molecular structure type things floating around it.
It's a fable for our time.
Yeah, this has a deep meaning. And I know what it is, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm smart enough to pick up what it means. But At Times a Nightmare is the name of the track on here. I randomly picked the seventh track, so let's see how this is.
Darling, she was like a dream.
I was really digging it until he opened his mouth.
Yeah, do you... This is just a shame. Let me skip to another track and see if
maybe
it's disgusting.
Maybe we just weren't being fair, yeah.
Yeah, it could be that they have another singer. Hey, we'll go for the second song, which is called Rainbow. All right, here we go.
Promising title.
This was recorded live on Sesame Street.
Let's go to track 4 called Unicorn Party.
Oh... Number 5 is called Happy. Let's try that one.
Well, it's kind of hip-hop flavor.
Yeah, he's busting down some beats here. I think I'm done with Snow Globe. I think that's all I can say.
Yeah. Well,
I think that's it for them. Oh, well. You know, The thing about Snow Globe is they were the very definition of what you would call whack.
Yeah.
That's like exactly what you mean when you say that word. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that guy's, I don't know, that's like songs that like you found on somebody's webpage and you play it back to them to embarrass them at school or something.
Yeah. You know, it's on a record label called Makeshift Records.
Oh, there you go.
That's pretty, what's the word? Serendipitous. Or something like that. I don't even care.
I'll trust you on that one. I don't know what it means.
All right, next up we have somebody named Garrison Starr.
That's just a cool sounding name.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody who would be famous. It's probably not his real name. His real name is probably like Ned Offelman or something. But anyway, let me read the little thing on the front of it. Garrison Starr combines acoustic and electric textures. Uh-oh, use the word textures. This is going to suck. To create an emotional jewel that illustrates her powerful yet serene and sweet vocal talents. It's a her.
What's that first girl of the night?
Yeah, a girl named Garrison. When I think Garrison, I think of Garrison Keillor or something with his deep, masculine, Midwestern voice.
She's probably got a mustache.
Yep, probably. Okay, let's see. Garrison Starr, I'll play a song called...
Is that Mazzy's sister?
I guess so. Sing it like a victim. Here we go. Listen for the textures, because this record has much vaunted textures. So
right.
Here we go. Oh, whoops, I pressed the wrong button, so we're not hearing anything. Here we go.
Tighten up your jaw. Feel the tears roll down from your eyes. Is a broken heart still beating? Think about the one that you despise. Throw a scream into the air. Scream how you can never win. Light a candle in the dark.
All right, that was Garrison Starr right there with Sing It Like a Victim off of the album The Sound of You and Me. That was nothing but pleasant, huh?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I'd want to hear more of what Garrison has to offer.
Even if it wasn't like really innovative or anything like that, I feel like she invited me into her home or something, and it would just be like a real jerk move to criticize it. Like if somebody invited you over for dinner and you were like, hey, your lasagna sucked, by the way, you know? It was very, and you know, I can't criticize her because look at that picture. She just looks like somebody from a Tide commercial or something, you know?
Yeah. She's got a cute little
She's
voice.
Wholesome, yeah.
A little overproduced, but it's good.
Or something. I think the textures were a little overbearing.
Yeah, they kind of clashed.
Yeah, the combining acoustic and electric textures to create an emotional jewel that illustrates her powerful yet serene and sweet vocal talents was maybe a little overbearing at times.
Yeah. But she did sing it like a victim.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that was an okay song. I don't have anything bad to say about it. And I guess that's it for that one. Next up, this one I'm kind of dreading and yet looking forward to at the same time. This is the Osaka Pop Stars.
Sounds promising. Very, very hip-looking cover.
Oh, I said that wrong. Osaka Pop Star and the American Legends of Punk. And here's the interesting part. It says down here, featuring Jerry Only from the Misfits, Des Cadena from Black Flag, Ivan Julian from the Voidoids, and Marky Ramone from the Ramones. So this is like some sort of a punk supergroup.
Wow.
Yeah, and yet they're singing songs about Sailor Moon and Astro Boy.
Yeah, the Astro Boy is a good theme song, you know, so I've never heard a punk cover of that or anything.
Well, we'll try that one. Astro Boy. I'm not familiar with the Astro Boy song or even exactly what Astro Boy is, although I recognize the title. Can you fill us in?
It was a 1950s black and white Japanese cartoon. It kind of was considered the first anime that was exported to America. And it was this little robot.
Okay.
It looked like Big Boy, kind of.
Oh, yeah. You know, now that you said it looks like Big Boy, I can picture it in my head because with the little short pants and stuff.
Yeah, he opened the door for Speed Racer and all that other stuff that came later, so.
Okay, yeah. All right, well, Astro Boy.
There
I don't
you
know
go.
If there's a cover of the theme song or just a song about Astro Boy or what, but I guess we'll find out.
Yes.
All right, so here we go. Osaka Pop Star and the American Legends of Punk with Astro Boy. So was that the actual theme song from Astro Boy?
It was, but it's just one of those by-the-number punk covers of something. Just because it's punk cover of something, you're supposed to like it.
You know, the ironic punk cover is, like, on the artistic ladder. That's right below mime, I think.
Yeah. No, it was, I thought it was just pretty weak, flaccid cover of this.
Yep, nothing innovative, just a run-of-the-mill sort of punk cover, wasn't it?
I mean, with that lineup that you read up, I was actually getting kind of excited about all the people involved with this, but...
Yeah, it seemed like none of those were really the principal guys from any of the bands. Like, none of them were the guys that actually made the bands all that great.
The roadie from Meatloaf, and, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess we can chalk that one up in the Oh Well category.
Yeah, I'd be happy never hearing anything by them again.
All right, well, I guess if we're quick, we have time for one more.
Let's make it count.
Yeah, this is a band called... Wait, I can't tell what it's called because there's a thing in the way. Justifier. Band called Justifier with a picture of some coyotes and factories and clouds.
That's three words, just a fire, not like just a fire.
Yeah, okay. Just a fire, as in only a fire.
Wow.
Yeah, I really, there's nothing particularly interesting about this cover, so I guess we should go right to the music. This song is called Spider Cop, which is a pretty good title.
Yeah.
As long as it's actually about a cop who is a spider. And as long as it doesn't suck like the RoboCop one earlier.
Yeah, the names have been the letdown so far.
You got those friends at the time.
That was a God. It kind of made me want to put a gun in my mouth.
That was it got a little tedious. But I will say something for the singer. He was a bad singer, kind of like the moose guy we heard earlier.
Yeah.
But you know what? He wasn't, to me, an especially offensively bad singer. It sounded just like, you know what this sounded like to me is, wherever you're from, you have a bunch of crappy local bands who are kind of on the edge of making good and getting a deal with some tiny record label or whatever. And, you know, this is somebody's crappy local band from somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know from where, from whence, but...
I didn't like how he made the word old into a five-syllable word.
Some people have a tendency to do that. Must be his insecurities about aging or something.
That's such a cool-sounding song title, and didn't live up to the expectations. Spider Cops, you know, that would be like...
Yeah.
You know.
That would be a great TV show.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, but, yep, wasted potential from Just a Fire.
They're Just a Fire, though. You can't be too hard on them.
Yeah, they got their record deal. They made a record. They're probably just some guys from somewhere who are just, you know, messing around. They probably work at the Play-Doh factory or whatever during the day. And, yeah, they're all right with me.
By night, they're Just a Fire.
Yeah, like, they might even be my friends in some alternate life, but, you know, their band kind of sucks, but I don't care. I'll go see them anyway. Whatever.
No, they're pretty good at Jenga and stuff like that.
Yeah, for real. You could drink with them and stuff, and they don't get obnoxious. Anyway, that's about it for the Teenage Dance Party. I'm giving Devlin and Scorpio some extra time to set up because they have some guests tonight. I'm going to play about 5 more minutes of music, and I'd like to thank Robert from RetroCrush.com very much for his time in coming here and...
Thanks for having me, and I love this city so much.
Yeah, it's a nice place, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
And you're from the Bay Area, aren't you?
Yes, but my wife, Linda Moon, Carl Moon, listening at home, they're a longtime Eureka residents.
Okay, cool, yeah, so I'll have you back on here next time you're in the area.
Thanks.
All right, well, thanks a lot. I'm going to play some Wire, because somebody earlier asked me if there were any good Wire songs that weren't on Pink Flag, and I said yes, there are, so here's Ahead.
That was a lot of fun. Thanks for listening to that with me there. That was David Thorpe. And if you're in the Eureka area or Humboldt area in general, you can listen to his show. I believe it's every Saturday from 9 to 11 o'clock at night time. And it's called Teenage Dance Party. A lot of great stuff. He really does his research and pulls out a lot of great music to play, and he takes requests through the internet, and you can actually listen to that through the internet as well. If you go to khsu.org, you can listen to them live over the internet, and like the Dave show is from 9 to 11 Pacific Standard Time in California, so anywhere in the world you'd like to check that out, and send him some requests. Really good alternative 80s music and some other stuff going on there. Just certainly wish I could hear that show every day in my local town of Sacramento, which has some of the worst radio known to man. It's just really bad talk shows in the morning, and then you've got Jack FM and other kind of just corporate garbage to listen to during the day there. So I mentioned we got a couple CDs to try out here on our podcast here. I've got we'll start with this Def Leppard CD. It's called Yeah, and it's supposed to be an homage CD of them playing tribute to songs that they grew up enjoying. And it says here, for those of you old enough to remember the British music scene in the early 70s, picture five guys totally unconnected growing up in industrial working class areas of England and Ireland. And when deciding to record some of the songs that were so influential in our youth, I thought it would be facing a nightmare task to narrow the number down to 50 or so. How wrong could I be? It soon became apparent that many of the songs appealed to all five of us. We had a lot of fun making this record. Now, this record isn't so horrible. But, you know, I can't see paying more than $5 for it. I mean, there's a few songs on here you might like. I can't imagine you totally digging the whole album, unless you're just the most diehard of Def Leppard fans. I'll be honest, I'm not familiar with some of the songs they're covering on here, so perhaps I'm not an authority. But there's a few on here that are pretty good. Rock On is one of the, songs on here that I am frankly not a huge fan of. It's ultimately, kind of boring to me.
To rock and roll, rock on, who am I so? Hey, did you book it too? Did you?
So anyway, there's that one. So there's a really good cover of the Kinks, Waterloo Sunset, that I like enjoying to listen to.
Dirty old river, must you keep rolling, flowing into the night? People so busy, making me dizzy, taxi light shines so bright.
So, but I gotta tell you, the standout on this has gotta be Hanging on the Telephone. You would not expect Def Leppard to be covering a Blondie song. And it's kind of fun. It's kind of nice to hear a male vocal taking this song on.
I'm in the phone booth, it's the one across the hall. If you don't answer, I'll just ring it off the wall. I know you're there, so I just had to call. Don't leave me hanging on the telephone. Don't leave me hanging on the telephone.
So yeah, that's probably the standout on the album as far as I go. Probably the only other one that I would enjoy listening to more than once would be No Matter What by Badfinger. They do a nice cover of that.
No matter what you are.
It's funny, for the longest time I thought this was a Beatles song. It's really got a Drive My Car kind of. So ultimately, yeah, I mean, if, like I said, if you're a diehard Def Leppard fan and you want to hear some new stuff from them, I suppose this CD might be good for you. Opinion, Mike, a friend of mine who listened to the CD, also said that he liked a couple of the songs, but the rest of it was ass, was his opinion. And like I said, if I paid $14 for this CD, I'd feel like I got ripped off. So, you know, my guess is sample them on iTunes and download a couple of the songs that you like. If you're not a Def Leppard fan, and if you are, go ahead and give it a try. Why not, huh? Well, on the other end of it, you know, where you have Def Leppard covering their favorite songs, I got another CD from the Shout Factory that I really do endorse. It's pretty fun. It's called Forever Diamond. And it is a bunch of different people covering Neil Diamond songs. Now, with a lot of cover albums like that, that you get, where there's kind of tribute albums or different people doing them, one of the downfalls of them is that you've got... it's either like everybody's all from the same record company, so you know there's some glaring omissions, or it's a bunch of no-name bands that you never heard of, so it's like, big deal. You know, it's just not that exciting to hear some bands you never heard of just go half-baked punk rock covers of songs. But this one's really good. It's got, you know, Neil Diamond as a songwriter and as a performer has a career that spans almost 40 years now. I mean, this guy's done... songs for the Monkees. Elvis has covered some of his work, and really any song you could think of that was a Neil Diamond cover song that you feel is worthy is actually on this album. So that's what I really like. There's not any glaring omissions. I mean, like, I got this 80s Greatest Hits CD, and it sucks because it's, like, only songs from one record company. It's not other great 80s songs that you'd expect to be on there. But this one's really good. Some of them that are obvious choices on here, and some of them you didn't even know that he wrote the songs. One of them on here is a Monkees song, A Little Bit Me and A Little Bit You. And, of course, you might expect I'm a Believer to be on here, but they got a different version of that on here instead.
Walk on.
So yeah, that's the Monkees doing A Little Bit Me, A Little Bit You. And as I mentioned, they also, of course, did a very famous I'm a Believer, and thank God that they did not put the Smash Mouth version of that song on here. I just cannot stand that group. Yeah, but they've got a really cool version by the Four Tops.
I thought love was only true and fair to. And then someone else, but not for me. Oh, love was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all of my dreams. Then I saw her face.
So, yeah, the Four Tops doing I'm a Believer there. Another great inclusion on the Forever Diamond cover song album is Solitary Man by Crooked Fingers. Johnny Cash did a really good version of Solitary Man, but I like this one as well.
Melinda was mine till the time that I found her holding Jim. Loving him. Then Sue came along. Loved me strong. That's what I thought. Me and Sue. That died too.
So that's actually, according to the liner notes, was Neil Diamond's very first hit. And really, really good songwriting there as well. Elvis Presley actually covered one of Neil Diamond's songs, and according to the liner notes here, it says, even the king himself was not immune to the power of a Neil Penn song, and a few cuts in the Diamond canon are so perfectly suited to Elvis's smoothed-out late 60s pop rock that In the Grass Won't Pay No Mind.
Listen easy, you can hear God calling. Walking barefoot by a stream.
That's another good one. Another good one on here I enjoy too is Deep Purple's cover of Kentucky Woman. Now, of course, you would think, gosh, well, you have to have Urge Overkill's cover of Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon from Pulp Fiction on here, and that's on here as well.
Girl, you'll be a woman soon. I love you so much, can't count all the ways I died for you, girl, and all they can say is, he's not your kind.
And we also have a really funny, kind of cool cover of Sweet Caroline, which is my favorite Neil Diamond song. And it's done by Bobby Womack. And as the liner notes say here, it says, there are few more iconic passages in the Neil Diamond songbook than the build-up to the chorus of Sweet Caroline. Seven sweet, majestic seconds that have electrified generations of fans. Not bad for a song written on the fly in a Memphis hotel room the day before a recording session. So here is Bobby Womack's cover of Sweet Caroline.
it's growing strong. Yes, it is. Was in the spring.
That one's a lot of fun, just because Bobby keeps going, yes it is, and he goes like, this is the part I really like, and just says a lot of fun comments through that, the whole song there. And, I'm gonna wrap this up. It's also got UB40's Red Red Wine, which I hate that song, so you're not gonna hear any samples of that from me. You've also got, Holly Holy from Junior Walker and the All-Stars, Dry Your Eyes, which features the band and Neil Diamond. That's a fun one as well. That kind of wraps up the whole CD. And you've also got Ain't No Way by the Box Tops. And finally, you've got Cracklin' Rosie by Shane McGowan and the Popes. And I think you really enjoy this one here. We'll play a little bit of that one here.
Cracklin' Rosie, get on board. We gonna ride till there ain't no more to go. Taking it slow. Lord, don't you know? I had me a time with a poor man's lady, yeah. Hitching on a Twilight train.
So there you go. Well, hey, if you like the Neil Diamond cover album there, I've got two of them I'd like to give away to you. The record company Shout Factory sent me a few for giveaways, and this is actually one of the few giveaways I'm pretty excited about supporting. So what I'd like you to do is call the Retro Crush voicemail hotline at 916-231-9480, and I will give one away to the best short version song of your favorite Neil Diamond song that you will sing, and I'll give another one away to just somebody that can tell me what their favorite Neil Diamond song is and why. So again, that's 916-231-9480, and it's a direct dial number to Sacramento. Love to hear from you for any reason, if that matter. And please leave me your email address if you're entering that contest, or you can email me and say I was the one who, you know. So actually, just call and leave the song, and then email me at rberry@retrocrush.com as well. In fact, speaking of voicemail, I thought we'd play a listener voicemail that we just got from Osaka, Japan.
Hey, Robert Berry, this is David calling you from Osaka, Japan. Great podcast you got going there. I thought I might do my bit to contribute, give you a little weird Japanese trivia. Ronald McDonald here, I don't know if you know this, he's just plain Donald. I guess because when you pronounce it phonetically, it would be Donarudo. And if you were going to do the whole, it would be Donarudo Mako Donarudo, which is just way too many syllables. It becomes a little difficult to say. Why they shortened it to Donald instead of Ronald, you got me. I don't know what's going on with that, but keep up the good work. Maybe I'll call again, give you some other interesting tidbits. Great podcast. Keep it up. Later.
Holy crap, did you hear that? It sounded like Godzilla just attacked him there. I hope you're okay, man. Please call us back and let us know there. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for continuing to listen to our podcast. We're going to be going through a new server upgrade very soon. I'm switching to a new hosting company, and it's going to allow us to put a lot more video and audio online for you without having to pay extra for it. And, you know, I really appreciate y'all listening here. You know, I don't know if I say that enough, but it really impresses me. I tried an experiment with the last two podcasts, episodes 78 and 79. I did not link them on my webpage at all because I was curious how many people would be listening to them without just, you know, I mean, the website Retro Crush gets about, you know, 15,000 or more visitors a day, sometimes a lot more than that. So, unlike some podcasts that only have a podcast, you know, we get the benefit of, being able to plug the podcast on our retrocrush.com website. So I can, you kind of got a built-in audience there. So I was kind of curious if I just did two episodes and didn't even mention them on the website, what kind of audience would still be there. And we got about, I'd say about 900 or more downloads each. So that's really good. Now, a lot of those are people that are subscribing through iTunes or other podcasting programs. But if you subscribe to us through iTunes, that's always the best way to get our podcast. But love to hear from you. Email us at rberry@retrocrush.com. Call the Retro Crush voicemail hotline. And please listen to other podcasts as well. The ones I've got on my list right now that I always recommend, the Drink Till We're Funny podcast. You can look them up at dtwfpodcast.com. Ebert and Roper have a great podcast. It's pretty much just an audio version of their television show, as well as NBC's Meet the Press. Those are just two great podcasts. This Week in Tech is another great podcast if you're into neat high-tech news. And for just great old laughs and outrageous goodness there, Infected by Martin Sargent is another great podcast that you can listen to as well. While I'm in a plug-in mode, check out some really good websites. I mentioned somethingawful.com. Check out xentertainment.com. That's x-entertainment.com. My good buddy Matt, my good buddy Steve, who runs thesneeze.com, always got some fun stuff going on, as does Rob Cockerham, who runs cockeyed.com. If you're in Sacramento, please check out trashfilmorgy.com. This summer we've got a lot of great movies lined up for you. And as I mentioned before, I'm going to be at the San Diego Comic Convention in July, and we've got a link on the front page about that. If you're going to be there, I'd love to see you. We're going to try to put some sort of a listener get-together for one of the nights there. So, again, love to hear from you. And I'm going to leave you with a real Neil Diamond song. And like I said, it's one of my favorites, and it is Sweet Caroline. Wait a minute, though. I can't close this out just yet. I promised I was going to talk about my favorite new comic book that just came out, Angry Youth Comics by Johnny Ryan. And you can learn more about him at johnnyr.com or go to fanagraphics.com to buy it. But it's quite simply the best comic book being published today. You know, I won't even say the best funny comic. It's the best. It's full of laughs. It's outrageous. It's offensive. But it's just, you know, great cartooning, great artwork, and just more laughs per page than any other comic book out there. The most current issue just came out, number 11, and the story in this one's called Graveyard Goofs. And Lodi McGee, who's the star of this comic, and his pal Sinus go to a graveyard to dig up the grave of Santa Claus. And Sinus asks, Santa Claus is dead? How? And Lodi tells him, well, a gay elf crawled inside Santa's body and took a shit on his heart, and he died. It happened a few days ago. And basically, he digs up Santa for a very special reason. But in the process, he has a really cool trip to have an orgy with a bottle of A1 steak sauce and a hot bottle of mustard with big mustard tits. And, you know, it's everything you'd hope a scene like that would be. And so there's, you know, Santa's stench is there, and some magic things happens when they pee on him, and there's a lot more exciting things going on there. It's probably you know, the Dark Knight Returns of our time. But all kidding aside, Angry Youth Comics, just a great comic. Go pick it up. You can go to fanagraphics.com or go to johnnyr.com and learn more about it there. And Johnny Ryan's always got some fun artwork for sale. Really accessible guy, and he's going to be at San Diego Comic Convention as well. So you'll see us all there. All the comic book greats. Well, as I promised, we're going to close the show out with Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline.
Sweet Caroline. Good times never felt so